Good morning and welcome to the Pogreen Comedy Podcast. It is April 21st, 2024. This is episode 144 of the Pogreen Comedy Podcast. This is a podcast by a dreamer for dreamers out there, stand-up comedian and actor, improviser, Pogreen, coming to you, documenting my journey as a comedian. So, last night I had two comedy shows at JP's Comedy in Gilbert, Arizona. And in both shows, I tried some new material. I opened up my sets with new jokes. At the 7 p.m., I tried the new joke that I'd actually tried on Friday. And on Friday, it went well. Last night, it didn't go well. And I don't really know why. That is always the baffling thing, is sometimes a joke hits, sometimes it doesn't, and obviously the goal is to find jokes that hit almost always. And I watched the video real quick. I'm like, how come I didn't seem to have them? And I haven't dove into it deep enough, so I don't really have any answers yet. But I do know that the opening premise worked. So the joke was about how women complain that men aren't reading their Tinder profiles. And my joke was that, the men on Tinder don't read. So the premise got a laugh both times. But last night, when I then went on to my kind of examples or whatever, they didn't really... It's like they laughed, but then they didn't go with me, which was weird. I don't know why. Then the 9 p.m. show was kind of a unique situation because there was a whole bridal party at the show. There was literally a woman in her wedding dress with a bunch of bridesmaids all dressed in crazy, you know, bridesmaids' dresses. And I've had this kind of bit that I've been thinking about, but I haven't really worked on that much. But it has to do with marriage and being single. And so I don't even know if I've... those of you who follow the podcast know that I try to write a new bit every day for the podcast. And I don't think I've tried this bit on the podcast. And again, I hadn't really written it out, but I sort of just winged it last night, and it went pretty well. The joke pretty much is, so I'm single, and I have never been happier. And, I spent most of my adult life single, and I was being convinced that because I was single, I was miserable. Then I got in my first serious relationship, and that's when I first learned just how miserable life could really be. And now that I'm out of that relationship, I have never been happier. And so that's kind of the first part. And then the second part I went into was about marriage and just how I'm shocked that people still get married because it's so intense. This is till death do you part. Till death. You want out of this? Because you're dead. When people get married, the only way that you know if it went well is if they're both dead. Or at least one of them. It's like, yeah, did they have a good marriage? Yeah, well, how do you know? Well, one of them's dead. So, they did it. They nailed marriage. They're dead now. So that's kind of the idea. So I opened with that, and that seemed to go really well, which made me start to think that maybe the reason my Tinder joke didn't go as well in the 7 o'clock show is because I opened with it. And it's kind of me opening, it's almost a critique on women, which is probably not the best way to start a set. It's like they don't know me yet. I haven't really been vulnerable about me yet. And then kind of my first thing is really a critique on women and like how they're processing things. And I'm going, yeah, maybe that is why you know, the audience, it wasn't that they weren't on board with the joke. It's just that maybe they weren't on board with me yet. At least that's what I'm thinking. But this is the type of analysis we have to do as comedians. And at the end of the day, we have no effing clue. We're all just trying to make it up and figure it out and hope that what we think was the reason things didn't go well or went bad, you know, was why we think it did, and then, you know, try to make some adjustments and then try again. So I have been really starting to try to get organized. I bought a bunch of post-it notes and I put all the post-it notes on my whiteboard that I bought yesterday to start building from scratch a brand new written set. I want to challenge myself to really hone in on my writing skills. And it's like to go from writing, meticulous, getting very detailed, and then putting that, presenting that writing on stage as is. I am so all over the place when I perform because of my improv background. I'm always riffing. I'm always going off script. I'm always, it's like I'm almost resistant to just doing jokes that I have written. And my improv, my riffing, all of that, it serves me very well. It is a skill set. I'm good at it. But for me to really get to the next level, to what my dreams are, I really need to hone the writing side of my act. And all the comics who were even on the show last night all had very meticulously written acts, and they all killed it, including Jim. And you can just see the craft and the honing of the craft and of the writing. And a lot of the comics I've seen multiple times. And so I know that what they are doing has been written and crafted, but they're so good at it that it sounds organic and it sounds, you know, spontaneous and in the moment. And I just haven't mastered that yet. So that's what I'm doing. So I have been very good. I've been writing every single day, and trying to come up with new material while also starting to try to look at, okay, what bits do I feel good about and which ones do I want to try and which ones do I want to really start to refine and focus in on. And I'm, again, starting to get organized with my whiteboard and post-it notes. And, you know, it's like a regular small business office here now, with my whiteboard with post-it notes. Let's see, what else am I up to? So those of you who follow the podcast know that a couple weeks ago, I set a couple goals for myself. Number one is to write every day. Number two is to do a minimum of 10 push-ups. No, 10 squats, 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups. And then to not drink sugar soda 6 days out of the week. So far, I have been 100% on all of my goals. I think I'm 2 weeks in now. I've written every day. I've done my 10 squats. I've done my 20 push-ups. I've done my 20 sit-ups. And I have not been drinking sugar soda. Somehow, I have still gained weight. I don't know how that's happening. I really doubt that 20 push-ups and 20 sit-ups and 10 squats is like gaining muscle mass by the pound. So I don't know what's going on. I was hoping that cutting out so many sugar calories from soda, which I drink so much sugar soda when I don't discipline myself like this, I thought that just cutting out those calories, those empty calories alone, that I would actually start to lose weight. And I haven't. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. And I'm not actually that, I'm not actually paying that close attention to like my weight and, you know, like health and exercise. Like it's just a small little thing. I'm just trying to do a little bit because my general focus is so much more on my comedy. So I got a little bit, still got a little bit of a belly, still got a little bit of a fupa here, you know, got to have that fupa. And I was hoping that I would see a little reduction in the fupa when I cut out soda, but evidently there's a lot more to it. Which, by the way, please don't start dropping health and diet advice in the comments. I know that you got it all figured out and that you know everything that I need to be doing and I need to be doing X, Y, Z. Anytime I've ever talked about health, all of the health people just love to flood my comment section with all of the things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. And thank you for being concerned and interested, but that is just not... health and diet, again, is not my main focus. I just wanted to do something in there just to get a little bit of daily discipline on just a little exercise and just one thing that I could do to just be that much more conscientious of how much high fructose corn syrup I'm pummeling my digestive system. So today I am going to do a ton of work on my act. I really want to start looking at building the first 5 minutes of what I want my new act to be. And kind of the benefit to writing all of my new sort of bit ideas on Post-it notes is then I was kind of able to see them of like, oh, you know, I could kind of move these here, move this over here and start to craft a bit of like a new 5 minutes of material. And I have my open mic today. So that is my goal, is to do 5 new minutes of meticulously written, no riffing, no going off script, living or dying by the jokes that I have written, and seeing how it goes. Recording it, listening to it, and yeah, it's just I'm just starting over, and I just, to me, I'm just looking at it, it's just a volume of work. It's just, you know, this is the goal I want to accomplish, which is a brand new hour, and I've just got, you know, I don't know, 100 hours, 1,000, probably more than that, probably like 500 hours of writing. Is that how much, I wonder how many hours it actually takes a stand-up comedian, like a Bill Burr, like a look at like a Bill Burr, like how many hours does he actually spend before he gets a new hour for like his next Netflix special? I wonder if it's like, is it 500? Is it 1,000? Is it more than that? How many hours does it take for a skilled comic to get 1 hour of Netflix quality comedy? How many hours, like Nate Bargatze, Jimmy Carr?
Wow.
I don't know. I guess if you looked at like a regular work week, right? Like a 40-hour work week, let's just say that they worked on their routine like a regular full-time job. So what's that, 40 hours a week? 160 hours a month. Is my math right on that? Yeah. 4 weeks times 40, 160 times 12. So what's that? 1,600 plus, what, like 1,900 hours, something like that? I mean, that's assuming they work on it full time. I don't know if they actually do that. I know I saw this video with Jimmy Carr, and he said that he spends 10 hours a day writing one-liners. I don't want to like not believe that, but I'm like, 10 hours every single day? You just wake up at 8 in the morning and then you write one-liners until 6 p.m.? Maybe that's what he does. I would assume it's like 10 hours for a couple of days until he's got like so many freaking one-liners. But somehow, that's the thing about writing, is it's not just about writing. It's really the editing. Like, writing is just one part of it. It's the editing and the refining and the and trying it. Because just because you think you have a killer one-liner, until you put in front of an audience to see if they laugh or not, that's only when you find out. Now, somebody like Jimmy Carr has access to probably unlimited stage time, because he could walk into any comedy club in the world and they would be like, Jimmy Carr's here, we're going to put him on stage right now. That's what all of the big guys do. You know, like Bill Burr can go to the Comedy Store any night of the week, and they're going to give him 15 minutes in the original room, then they're going to give him 15 minutes in the main room, and then, you know, he can probably do both shows. So he could probably do four shows, two in the original room, two in the main room, and he's just done an hour of stand-up comedy in one night. So, like, he could practice a whole hour, you know, in front of some of the toughest, most critical comedy crowds in the world, which are the people in LA who frequent the Comedy Store. So, anyway, that's a lot of blabbing on. So that's what I'm up to. I am, I'm slightly encouraged that I had some new material kind of work. But the material was in this new format that I've been talking to. It's very honest. I'm not being jokey. I'm not doing misdirection. I'm not doing any of that other stuff that I used to try to do, because I didn't really understand how to write in the format that is what the most successful comedians are doing right now. And so now that I get it, I can sense it and I can recognize it. And again, now it's just a body of work. It's just putting in hours and hours and hours of writing, refining, practicing, trying, and getting very meticulous, which is new to me. This is a new discipline. My spontaneous, improvisational, riffing propensity has served me well. It's gotten me a lot of opportunities, got me through a lot of shows, and that will always be there, but you know, it's the whole thing of, once you're in your comfort zone, the only way to expand beyond your comfort zone is to be uncomfortable and to do things differently and to challenge yourself. Otherwise, it's the whole, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. So I know what I have done before and what it's gotten me, and I'm grateful for it. It's incredible, but now I'm looking to expand beyond that, which means I need to be different and I need to challenge myself and I need to go be uncomfortable, which means I need to be willing to go try new jokes in front of audiences and throw them out there and run the risk of them not going well and me getting a little shell-shocked. That totally happened in the 7 o'clock show. I tried this bit that had worked on Friday. It didn't work. I was a couple lines in and I was like, oh, crap. And I felt the nerves. I felt the discomfort. I felt this. I thought this part was going to be funny. They're not laughing. I don't have a ripcord. Well, I do have a ripcord. My ripcord was no more material. Now I'm just going to do crowd work. So anyway, fun times for Paul Green and Paul Green comedy. Just writing, exercising, trying to trim down my fupa, and that's where I'm at. That is where the dream lives today. So I am going to get to my writing today and get ready for my open mic today at 5 p.m. And again, my commitment to myself is to have these bits that I've been working on, to really pin them down, hone them in, and do a brand new 5 minutes today. All right, everybody. That is the update here from Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I hope all of you are doing fantastic, that you are pursuing your dreams, pursuing your goals, allowing yourself to be a little uncomfortable if that's where you're at, pushing outside of your comfort zone, taking some risks, expanding, putting in work where you know you need to put in work. I wish there was a way without without it, but unfortunately, I don't know of any other way other than, you know, winning a lottery or something like that. And if that is your strategy, I have no idea how to help that strategy. All right, everybody, that is all for today, April 21st, 2024, episode 144 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you tomorrow.